The DigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, show 170, Thursday 21st of August 2008. Control. I'm Ian Dixon, and this week we're going to be talking to Scott Bannerman, CEO of Music Giants, about Music Giants' HD audio service and their HD video service, Video Giants, that can deliver content directly into Media Centre. So we're going to be talking about the type of content you get, why you want the HD content, and how you can get hold of it in Media Centre. I have a roundup of the week's news and a catch-up of some email. So welcome to the show, thanks for listening. Let's dive straight into the email, and you can email me at ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. And the first one is from David Cozy. Hi Ian, I'm still looking to purchase a television for my basement. However, with the higher televisions with the more advanced features are coming down the price, I've been putting it off. Here in the States there are several manufacturers selling televisions with the capability of handling 120Hz or 60Hz. I have a HP deck and it has a 256MB low profile graphics card in it. My question is around those video cards and televisions. If I purchase television with the 120 capability, will most video cards handle that refresh rate? And if not, do you know one that is low profile that can? Thanks, David. Thanks for the email, David. I think the only way to check it is to go to the refresh rate in Vista and have a look at what refresh rate your video card will put out. So some cards may be able to do it and some won't. I guess it depends on the source as well. If you've got a standard 720p signal, then that's going to be coming out at 60Hz anyway. So I don't know whether that would make that much difference. So check the settings. I'd be interested to hear what some listeners think, because I'm not sure that the extra refresh rate will make that much difference. I'll be interested to hear what your listeners think. Will the 120Hz make a big difference? Obviously it's an extra frame a second, so it's going to look better, but does it actually, you know, when you see it side by side, does it look better, and does the standard def content, the HD content that Media Centre can put out, look better, or is it kind of scaled down anyway? So it'll be interesting to hear your thoughts on that, and thanks for the email, David. Now to an email on the HP TouchSmart IQ500. Hi, I love the look of the HP TouchSmart IQ500. I know it has a TV tuner, but would it be possible to connect to Virgin Media Box so I could watch my subscribed TV channels, Sky Movies, Sky Sports? I've emailed HP about the issue and they said they had not tested it, but in theory it should work. Shin out £1,000 on a theory is a bit of a punt, so after some searching I found your blog page. I hope you can help, Mark. Thanks for the email, Mark. I checked in the box and the tuner does have IR blasters, and the IR blasters are a little like bugs that you stick on your set-top box so they can control the set-top box. So I think it should work. I wasn't able to test this because I haven't got a set-top box. Because the other thing you could do is get a USB tuner that for around £40, so it's not a huge expense. I've got it working with DBVT and it's great. So now another question on the TouchSmart. Hi Ian. As always, thanks for the continued great podcast. Is there a way I could use the HP IQ500 as an extender for my main Vista Media Centre PC, one that's set up with cable cards? The main items I'd like to extend are recorded TV and live TV. Would the MediaSmart be able to do this, or would I run into DRM issues? Thanks, Todd. Thanks, email, Todd. DRM issues are the killer on this. Two issues, really. One, the cable card recorded content won't play on another PC. It would only play on extenders, so that rules that out. And the live TV, there's no way of getting live TV from one PC to another. Again, it goes down the extender route, so it's not going to work for you, which is a real shame, because without the DRM locking it down, it would work for recorded TV, and that's what I can do now. So no, it's not going to work for you. You might be better looking at one of the extenders and doing it that way. Now to an email from Andy Van Til, the author of some great utilities for Media Centre. This is regarding DVD ripping. It says, hi, Ian. DVRMS to WMVHD can convert video TS folders to WMV using whatever profile you specify, including VC1 5.1 WIA Pro. I don't know if it works on X64, but it should as long as the X86 directional filters are available. AC3 filters or similar audio filters is required to decode the AC3 multi-channel PCM audio. The menus will be lost, but the transcoding is performed directly on the content, so conversion doesn't take too long on a modern PC. Cheers, Andy. Thanks for that email, Andy. This is regarding converting DVDs so that you can play them on extenders and other media center machines, so I think that is going to be a nice utility, and I'm going to give that a try. So now an email from Rob. Hi, I've been watching a few of the videos you have, and have to say they're brilliant. I learned so much by watching them. Now, not only do you show how to set the product up, you show what's in the box, unlike some videos. It's nice to be able to see what you're buying before you actually purchase it. Great job, mate. Regards, Rob. Thanks for that email, Rob. I'll keep the videos coming. I'm planning to do some more. The last week I did the one showing TV. Maybe I'll have one on setting up an extender and some other stuff, so keep an eye on the blog for that one. So thanks for that email. Now an email on reaction to last week's show. Hi, I think you should emphasise the big elephant in the room with Fiji, the move to WTV. Fiji's move to WT file format is going to be a pain due to the lack of universality. I understand that DVRMS file was abandoned for WTV as the wrapper is compatible with H.264, whereas the former was not, although the H.264 support has not materialised. However, by moving to WTV in Fiji, as things stands now, it's unplayable on non-Fiji systems, XP, Windows Media Player, VLC, DVR Toolbox, etc. In a sense, any show recorded with WTV will have to be played back on a Fiji machine, a good way to break digital home and content sharing. And thanks for that email, absolutely, it is a problem. I share contents between machines and was bitten by that one machine wouldn't play the content and another would, a Fiji machine would. So hopefully there's going to be an update on the way to support this. I don't know whether that is the case. I'm just hoping that Microsoft are going to open up the compatibility so there's an update for other platforms. But you know, considering how much of a change the WTV format is, maybe it's not possible to sort of back that in. So hopefully something comes on the way. So finally, an email on last week's show. Hi there, Ian. First off, I was thrilled to hear your message read out on your podcast. Thanks for that. I was not aware that you were a fan of the Indy 500. I live about 5 miles from the track. If you ever want to come to the race and have a free place to crash, don't hesitate to look me up. Sorry, but I'm going to cram these things into this email. 1. Very engaging podcast last week, but I never thought I'd get so angry listening to a podcast. I don't think I'm alone in being disappointed that Media Center will not be updated to Windows 7. Part of what I love about Microsoft is their willingness to consistently update the software. The Zune 2.5 upgrade to my Zune 30 is a prime example. I can accept that Microsoft lacks the number of programmers needed to work on Windows 7 and Vista at the same time. Vista is a perfectly fine operating system that should be supported on and built upon. 2. For some reason my online media tab no longer has any icons. Do you know how to restore these? And 3, there was excitement when Internet TV was first announced, but it's still in beta. Have you heard of any plans to advance this future, or is MS letting it die? Keep up the good work, Chris. Okay, let's answer those there. 1, yes, it does look like Windows 7 is getting all the resources, and Vista is fine and could be built upon. But I guess, in a sense, that's what Windows 7 will be. It will be the core of Vista built upon, improved, and launched as a new product. So that is happening. It's just a shame we're going to have to wait just over a year to get any updates on that. So I can appreciate you being angry on that one, and it's something that it's a no-win situation now. I don't think they'll be able to please everybody on that. 2, I'm not sure why your online media tab has no longer any icons in it. I'm going to check and see if I can find a way of resetting this. What you could do is check that your language and your region settings are not messed up for some reason, because a lot of how Media Center does that depends on your language settings and your region settings and in your locale settings in Internet Explorer as well. So check that they're all set as US and everything's set right on those, and see if that helps. As for point three, internet TV, I really hope internet TV is going to die. I want to see it expanded on and being able for the rest of the world. It's not available here in the UK, and I really think it should be. I think all the content that Microsoft produces should be available on internet TV, so I really want to see that grow and come from strength to strength. If that dies, then that is a real shame, so I want to see that improve. So thanks for your email, and I may see you in Indy one year. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Please keep them coming in. So now, a quick look at some of the news items from last week before we go to the interview. First, I want to mention something from fellow MVP Pete Stagman. He's put together a Connected Home Day in Boston. It's a free full day of training for a novice computer user and more advanced users as well, if you want to have a look at what's on offer. And the event will be held at Microsoft North East Sales Office in Waltham, September 13, and the registration link is on Pete's site. So if you know someone benefit from the training, you pass on the link. If you want to have a look yourself, check out the link. There's going to be all sorts on there. There's going to be how to use Media Center for its full potential, how to use Home Server, import documents with digital photos, analog to digital conversion, and all that kind of thing. So link for that in the show notes. We were talking about online services before. There's another blog for online services of Media Center. Mike at Missing Remote is reporting that MSM Remote Record Beta has been shut down. It's something I've never been able to test myself because it was US only, but I know a lot of enthusiasts really liked it. So the only way to set up recordings over the internet now is WebGuide. I'm a bit worried because that has an uncertain future since Doug Barrett, who now works at Microsoft, and currently the TV feature pack is not compatible with WebGuide, so that's going to need some fixing. So along with disappearing applications in Online Spotlight and MSM TV that never got out of beta, and Internet TV not supported here in the UK, there's not a lot of internet content for Media Center at the moment, so let's hope that it gets ramped up with future versions and we see more content coming from Media Center, because obviously it's in an ideal place to deliver internet content down to the TV, and it makes sense, so we're going to see more content on there. Something for XP Media Center users: if you install one of the updates that's come down over the last couple of weeks, it's for Windows Messenger, KB946648. It's causing problems with some error message about unable to open Messenger when you start up Media Center. And to stop the error message, you've got to untick a setting in Messenger and caller ID settings, but unfortunately the update stops you from getting into Media Center to untick the settings. So I think MVP Richard Miller was looking for a registry solution, but in the meantime what you can do is just remove the update, disable the setting, and then reapply the update if you need the update, or use something like Windows Live Messenger. You can read more on the thread on the green button, and on the show blog you'll see it on there as well. Finally, I wanted to mention something new. Adam Thursby has been using Media Center for years now and found himself looking for a source of information for newcomers for Media Center. So he started a new blog and posted his first podcast, which hopes to be a series of podcasts, and they're going to be available on thedigitallifestyle.com. So check out his first show, let him know what you think and give him some feedback. You can subscribe to the RSS feed and get that to Zune or iTunes or whatever you want. And he says, "While much of the information I'll be providing will be for newcomers, there will be a few things for people who know Media Center as well. I hope to expand the blog and podcast soon with wiki, videocasts, and other features to help the community grow and evangelize Media Center to as many people as possible." So check out Adam's podcast and let him know what you think. So you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/isdixon. You can subscribe to my blog on thedigitallifestyle.com and all the other blogs on there. Now to the interview with Scott Bannerman, CEO of Music Giants. Well, Scott, welcome to the Media Center Show.
Thanks a lot, Ian.
I think I talked about Music Giants on the Media Center Show quite some time ago, and I think I saw some stuff about a relationship with Nivius. There's a whole thing around HD content, and we all get different quality of content. So I thought, well, first, just explain to me, Music Giants, who are you, and what kind of content and services do you offer?
Well, Music Giants is a company we started now almost 5 years ago, and the goal from the very beginning was to be able to deliver high-definition content directly into a media center environment. And we started out with music. We've since made some announcements around Video Giants, a product we have for movies. from major movie studios and in high def. But to kind of stay on the music side of things, it was really our goal to make sure that we get high bitrate music directly into people's home theaters through a media center. And to that end, we have about 50 different companies who are writing code to our software developer kit, much like the Niveus product that you talked about earlier.
Right. So why is it important to get HD content down through like Media Center into the home cinema?
Well, you know, up till now, digital music has really been focused on portable use, right? And of course, the iPod would be the example we'd all think of. And in that environment, what was paramount was compressing the files down to a point where you really wouldn't notice that much of a difference on a set of earbuds. And for portable audio, sound quality really isn't, you know, paramount. But the minute you move into home audio or car audio, then having the entire file there and having a lossless compressed file so that it sounds identical to a CD is really important.
Mm. I mean, that's the strange thing, isn't it, over the years from sort of hi-fi enthusiasts always had, you know, the greatest record players with the fantastic needles and special balance things, and then now we've kind of gone well away from that, and we've got some people happy with, you know, the 128K MP3 files, which sound pretty crap on a decent system.
Yeah, I think the idea of plugging an iPod into a high-end home system just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's just the wrong tool. It was never really designed for that. Much the same as when the Walkman came out. It was a great way to take music with you, but, you know, I never took a Walkman and plugged it in as a source unit for any of my high-end stereo gear, because people just knew it was like, you know, trying to use a hammer where you want a screwdriver instead. Wrong tool for the job, right? And so the whole idea there is to focus on quality, deliver files that are around 1,000 kilobits a second, you know, which is getting back to that whole lossless idea where there is some compression to the file, but without losing any bits at playback, it plays back as a mathematical match to a CD.
Right. And so is the service that you offer kind of like a download service, a way of getting the tracks down to through Media Center?
Exactly. Well, we do have a store on the internet that people go to and just purchase the tracks. We're an official player inside the Windows Media Player 11, and I think 10 as well. So if people want to just go, you know, in that two-foot experience with a PC, it's certainly available. But, you know, our mission is to really push out into an environment where you can do the same thing from your couch with a remote in your hand. You know, we've released a store right now with QSonics doing that. We have the Niveus store out there. We have a number of others coming out. And we're releasing a white label store that will work inside anybody's Media Center environment. And that way, if you have MCE as, you know, the primary driver for what you're doing in your box, Music Giants will be right there.
Ah, right. Okay, so there's two things there then. So the first solution is you're providing the back end for a company like Niveus to then build their own user interface. And that's the store in Media Center. And then you're producing your own interface that so people with their own Media Center systems and non-Niveus and other, you know, users could then have a look at.
Exactly. I mean, our goal is just to get the content in the highest quality possible into the box. And typically the box manufacturers want to make sure that their look and feel of the user interface is very consistent throughout. So we don't require that they use our specific UI. It just seems to work a lot better so that wherever you're navigating within the Media Center experience, everything looks and feels the same and operates the same. And for us, then, we just want to provide those hooks to the content.
Right. So you're providing the content, and then the store can be built on top of that.
Exactly. And that's the same thing we're doing with music, you know, just in a two-channel environment like a CD. We've then moved out to a product we call Super HD, which is based on the idea of multi-channel, similar to what you'd have in SACD and DVD audio. We have a number of titles that have been remastered to a WMA or Windows Media Audio file format that can be downloaded from us right now. Things like, you know, Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, and stuff that, you know, 5.1 surround just really sounds spectacular on. It's a very high resolution file. They're 24-bit files. They play at like up to 10,000 kilobits a second. You know, for comparison purposes, Walmart and iTunes and everybody else is around 128 kilobits a second. So these are really rich, really warm sounding files. Kind of reminds you of vinyl if it were 3D, right?
Oh, fantastic. I imagine listening to Dark Side of the Moon in 5.1 in that high bit rate sounds fantastic.
Well, yeah, and the really neat part of this is that you've got 30 million homes in America today that have a surround sound system plugged into a high-definition flat panel TV or projected image. And so unlike the old days of quad sound where you had kind of the chicken and the egg thing going on, people didn't want to, you know, produce the music until there was enough hardware, and people didn't want to buy the hardware until there was enough, you know, quad music produced. Hey, today, you just leapfrog right over that entire problem because you've got all these homes with the home theater environment set up in it. You plug a media center into that, and you have instant surround.
So where do you think, why do you think then this would be a success as opposed to the other formats you mentioned, the DVD audio and the super audio CD, where they really haven't sort of caught mainstream attention?
Well, I think there's a few factors. Number one, you know, nobody likes a format war, right? As we saw with Blu-ray and HD DVD, it just makes a mess, and it slowed the whole development of the content down a bunch. So same thing happened with music, and then people didn't really want to buy a player. They didn't want to buy one more, you know, piece of equipment to throw in there. That was a problem. And I don't know that the music industry did a really good job promoting it. You know, there became this big push for convenience. And the problem with that, of course, is it also brought file sharing, which was really detrimental to the entire industry. And we're of the belief that if you want to get the music industry back on its feet, just like other industries where piracy is a problem, like high-end watches like Rolex or, you know, brands like Louis Vuitton, those things are knocked off all the time and stolen. But those brands are smart enough to focus on quality, provide that really high-quality experience, and guess what? People keep buying Rolexes, and they keep buying Louis Vuitton, you know, the rest is history. On the music side of things, with attention paid to that, we believe that you're going to start to see a lot of excitement around it. John Mellencamp has a 5.1 album coming out. There's a lot in the news. I know Neil Young's been quoted quite a bit around this. T-Bone Burnett has been talking about it. So we're seeing people inside the music industry get excited about providing a better experience in recorded music, and I think that's going to have consumers willing to pay for it again.
So I suppose when you look at, say, video, and there's been, especially in America with the Blu-ray drives, since you mentioned, you know, the format war is finished and the Blu-ray drives are taken off and people want that HD content, perhaps the same thing could happen to music.
Yeah, we really hope so. We're firm believers in the music industry, even though we've, you know, now come out with our Video Giants product, and we've announced a deal with Paramount, and we have a number of others coming out in the next few weeks with major studios. So video is a big deal to us, but that said, we're not walking away from the music industry. We really are bullish on where the industry can go, especially with, you know, the big adoption of media servers we see coming in the next 4 to 5 years. And being able to have a music store and a movie store embedded in those solutions that you can just access with your remote control, we think that's like, you know, putting a video store and a music store right in someone's living room and giving them that convenience.
Mm. I mean, that's the nice thing about having the convenience, to be able to get the store directly through Media Center rather than having to go to a desktop and download the stuff from there.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the stuff that you're seeing show up in, like, the online spotlight and other areas in Media Center have a tendency to be something you have to kind of hunt and peck and, you know, pick around and find. And most of the guys that we're working with are making sure that as you're, you know, right on the main screen of Media Center, it's really easy to access the Video Giant store and the Music Giant store, and the experience is an easy one to navigate through, find the music you're looking for, purchase it, and hit the play button.
Mm. And when you purchase and play these, does this also work through the extender experience?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, all the way out to, like, an Xbox 360 even, or typical media extender, for example, like Nivius has. The licensing is all built in to handle that. That's, you know, part of the advantage of being on the Microsoft platform, and which is why we chose it. We wanted to be an open source company and work with everybody out there that was going to be part of this Media Center platform. So we had, you know, spent a lot of years working through the distributed audio piece of this, now distributed video. It's not easy. You know, there's a lot of moving parts, and but, you know, it's really paid off, I think, in the long run to be able to have a product that and, that will move content throughout your home and make it so you can enjoy it anywhere.
So to tell us about the Video Giants and the Video Store then, is that the same service but for videos?
Exactly. With a real heavy emphasis on high definition, we're in the process of, you know, licensing content. I mentioned Paramount. We also have a deal that we've announced with HDNet and their affiliate companies. Again, heavy focus on high definition. Our goal is to go well beyond the quality of a Blu-ray, which, you know, really works fine until you get up to about a 100-inch projected screen where the image begins to artifact, because, you know, even Blu-ray is about a 15-to-1 compression down from the DCI content, which is, you know, as close as you can get to, you know, full-on 35 millimeters. So we think there's a lot of room when you take away the constraint of that piece of plastic and you start delivering content in a download format or in a project like we do where we deliver content that's preloaded on a Seagate hard drive. And in that environment, you don't have those same constraints, so you can go to a much higher bit rate and you can then provide that high-octane fuel that's necessary when you're in high-performance gear that you'll find in people's home theaters where they're projecting to 10, 12, and even 15 feet at times. You know, we sell premium fuel for high-performance gear, and that's going to continue to be the niche that we work.
So just explain how the hard disk solution works and the Seagate one.
Well, the idea there is that, you know, movies are obviously, you know, very large, and when you're trying to download through, you know, some normal like DSL connection or cable modem, it can take a long time to download a high-def movie. So we have a solution where we can have a customer choose a package of movies, and we have them available on our website. Right now, we actually image the files onto the drive. We can overnight them to a customer. They plug it into their media center, and we can issue the DRM keys in a matter of seconds, and you're actually playing the movies right off the drive. So it's just a really kind of a here-and-now solution for people who don't want to fight the struggle of, you know, not having a big enough internet connection to make you know, like a fiber to the home type experience happen. So it's kind of Netflix on steroids, if you will.
I mean, that's a good way around it while we're still waiting for sort of internet bandwidths to catch up with the needs of high definition that you can do that. So I guess the customer then would get the disc with all the content on, they can watch that, and then they can send it back and get the next sort of disc sent out again.
Exactly. We're actually, you know, working on kind of a green-friendly approach where you start out with a hard drive that we can ship back and forth, and they can just continue to load these up on their media center. Other customers have chosen to load the content from the external hard drive and onto their media center and then store that external hard drive off-site somewhere as a backup in case there were, you know, a fire or theft loss or hard drive failure. So we have people kind of doing it, you know, both ways, and, you know, we're happy with either. But I think what it does is it's a real here-and-now solution for people that maybe don't have, you know, fiber to the home, but they want to have a fabulous movie collection. They want it in the highest quality possible. And getting away from, you know, a shiny disc is the way to do that. And I think that, well, Blu-ray certainly won the battle with HD DVD. In the end, the war will be won with people doing direct downloads through, you know, fiber to the home. In a matter of just a few minutes, you'll have, you know, high-definition movies that go way beyond the quality of what's deliverable today on a disc.
Yeah, absolutely. And the disc method is just, you know, just seems like it's not really got, once we get the decent internet connections, it's going to go away, and a service like this is ideal. But what I do like, the fact that it's delivered that straight down through the Media Center UI, and I guess this is the same as the music. Does this work on the extenders as well?
Exactly, and the thing people are finding, you know, when you really go to high bitrate content like this, it puts a strain on some of the ways that people have been trying to move content around in the home. But, you know, there's plenty of companies out there like Cisco and others that specialize in, you know, moving files wirelessly through a home, and others that do it through an Ethernet, you know, hardwired connection. So there's definitely the structure in the home out there to pull this off, and we've just taken the time to make sure that the licensing is going to work through that environment. If you want to, you know, start a movie in one place, watch it somewhere else, you can. And we believe this whole open platform environment of the Media Center is what's going to win in the end over people who are trying to sell specialized boxes and then try to find a way to, you know, hook them up into a legacy entertainment system. It's really fraught with trouble. But, Media Center, the whole platform and the infrastructure has taken a couple years longer than I think everybody wanted it to. In the end, it's that open platform environment that I think is going to win. And, we've just put ourselves right in the middle of that war by kind of being the arms dealer, if you will, and supplying all the content to the people who are focused on quality and focused on open architecture.
I mean, the way that you've architected it is exactly the way that I want to operate. Is I'd have all my content located centrally on a media center machine, and then I have extenders around the home that can consume this content, and that's exactly what I want to do, and not deliver to the endpoint, you know, like on an Xbox or on a disc.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense, and it's not easy, you know. I mean, a lot of people have tried and failed, but you're starting to see some really substantial companies now put effort to this. We work with a number of folks out there from Aspen Media Products, and we mentioned Nivius, and you go on our website, you'll see a huge list of folks that are already deals that we've announced and folks that we're working with on the hardware side, and Crestron, huge player in home automation, is working with us as well, and the Aspen Media Products, formerly known as Cutting Edge PCs, is out there, but it's everybody from, Intuset, Nivius, Logitech, Rust Sound, Request, QSonics, and those are just the ones we've announced, and there's about another 40 that we haven't announced yet that over the coming weeks we'll start to release. And so for us, that's the key to distribution, is being able to do it through everybody else's box and not try to come up with our own proprietary system.
Yeah, absolutely. And the people you mentioned then are kind of some of the high-end manufacturers of the custom AV equipment. When it goes sort of down to the enthusiasts, with their own box or the off-the-shelf machines, is your own store the way that they could access this content?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people will see that white label store. We'll probably release it by CEDIA this year, which is the big custom installer show that happens the first week of September out in Denver. And while we do a lot through custom integration, we're already getting a tremendous amount of interest from people that are really in the high end of the consumer electronics world, that are folks that are, obviously the household brands for, PCs. And you're just seeing more and more of those people work towards a media center environment where they're going to have a product that plugs right into your TV and bridges the gap.
I mean, it makes absolutely sense to go for this kind of high definition content, because enthusiasts spend an awful lot of money getting fantastic setups. So you want to get great content to go with that to make use of it. I mean, I can't stand watching something that's not got a digital soundtrack on a DVD if it's because I've got all this surround sound speakers and I want the surround sound.
Yeah, the key to a lot of that is the who they choose inside the box to do the digital to analog conversion, because that digital analog conversion, or the DAC, is kind of the magic between having something sound just spectacular and remind you of the rich, warm sound of vinyl and give you that emotional response to the music that we kind of all grew up with, versus somebody who's just using motherboard sound and hoping for the best. So we are seeing people put effort into both the audio output and also the video output by using really high-end video cards. So that's where you're going to start to see, I think, the really big differences between the box manufacturers, is the high quality of components they choose. There'll be differentiation, within the within these products, I think, based on how good of an experience you can get out the other end, both from audio and video.
And one question I wanted to ask you as well, there seems to be quite a trend at the moment to some media providers moving away from DRM and going with MP3. How do you think this affect people like yourself supplying HD content?
Well, you know, we have some announcements coming up very shortly on some majors dropping their digital rights management on the music side of things, which I think is going to, you know, it starts to open up some exciting products. Like, we work with Request right now with some non-DRM on the jazz and classical front, because we have a lot of that non-DRM. But as we move out and away from DRM with the majors, we'll have just some spectacular collections that they can play in FLAC. And so you're going to see more and more of that in music. But on the movie side, the only people we've talked to really with video content that are willing to step away from DRM is HDNet, because Mark Cuban apparently just doesn't believe in it. I don't know his, you know, personal views, but I've read a few things that would lead me to believe that he thinks it's inhibiting the growth of content distribution. And so all the content we have from HDNet comes without DRM, and it's just easier to deal with, easier to move around. But for the foreseeable future, everybody else on the video side, the boxes are going to have to be able to handle DRM, handle it in a distributed version as well out to the extenders, and we've solved all those issues with Microsoft already.
I mean, I don't probably mind too much sort of DRM on video as long as I can watch it on the extenders, and like I said before, I've got it on a central source. So as long as it does what you want and the DRM's not too... doesn't get in the way, then that's fine. But I think right. For music, people do like that flexibility. So it's good that you've got sort of both ways of doing it.
Yeah, in a Microsoft world, most of it's been taken care of at this point. It's when you step out into Linux and other areas that it becomes troublesome. But, you know, that's part of what we do. That's, you know, why it's taken us a number of years to get where we are today. You know, we learned those lessons on the music side, and we're applying them on the video side, and helping people even all the way out into Linux boxes and other platforms be able to play a Windows Media protected file. So, you know, we're getting there. I think as long as you make it transparent in the background, you know, the average, fully functioning adult is not interested in stealing music or movies any more than they would walk into a grocery store and steal a steak. You know, I mean, it's the younger generation, I think, that we have a little more challenge with. But in a media center environment, it's typically someone who's putting this in a living room. They're fully functioning adults. They don't typically steal things. And they're not looking to break the DRM and cause problems. They just want the DRM to reside in the background and, you know, not give them fits.
Yeah, absolutely. If you've paid good money for your home system, you more often than not, you're okay to pay for good quality content.
Sure. And these people aren't going to trade their integrity for a song at $1.29. You know, we're a 30% premium over the other services, which are typically at 99 cents, but we offer like 700% more quality, more sound quality in those music files. So, you know, we're kind of Nordstrom's to everybody else's Walmart, if you will.
But I think it's fantastic having something like Dark Side of the Moon in 5.1, and good music you can really enjoy. I guess that's maybe showing my age, but it's something I would really like to listen to.
Oh, you will absolutely love some of the content we're about to release. You know, we've got on staff Elliot Mazur, who's our official sound czar, and he oversees the project where we move a lot of this into the Windows Media Audio format. In fact, he mixed a lot of these tracks into 5.1. He's done, you know, projects with, you know, Neil Young. He was Neil's producer for years. He produced Harvest. He's, you know, done stuff with Frank Sinatra's old original files from the Live at the Sands album. He's done stuff with Pink, Switchfoot, all kinds of people, Santana. So he's somebody who really understands how to move that music into a third dimension, and definitely one of the leaders in that industry. And we're fortunate to have him working with us, and we've got some stuff coming out that'll just bring tears to your eyes. I mean, it's a lot of great classic rock songs that you've heard your whole life, but when you hear them in high resolution and that rich, warm sound, and then you just get enveloped in a three-dimension environment, it really evokes a lot of emotion.
Yeah, so it's fantastic. And you mentioned about the pricing there, but just tell us about availability. So is this a US-only product, or have you got some worldwide availability plans?
US-only today, because of the licensing restrictions with the content owners for most of our content. Some of it we have, like with Concord and others, where we have more worldwide rights. But it's really just a matter of, you know, when and not if for us as far as releasing to other countries. We stay focused on our hardware partners, and if we have a substantial partner who has good distribution into other countries, then it makes sense for us to open up that store in those countries. So we're not going to rush out and try to do it on our own. We just work with hardware partners to ensure that, you know, we're if you're selling gas, you want to make sure there's a lot of cars on the road. And so for us, it's where are those media servers going out in large numbers, and then we just follow along.
It would certainly be nice to see it in the UK. I can speak for UK listeners to the show and other European countries as well.
Now, you know, iMerge is a UK country and UK company, pardon me, and we've done a lot of work with them in the past and are really looking forward to being able to work with companies like iMerge and others that are UK-based, that as they get more distribution out there, we can afford to bring the content to the UK through that distribution, and it makes good sense. It makes good sense for the labels, it makes good sense for us, and this content really helps sell hardware. So companies that are putting out the boxes have found that it's, you know, if you don't put some media in the media center, it's a pretty boring piece of equipment to put in your house.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if any listeners want to get more information and want to find out how they can get the content, where's the best place to go?
Best place is definitely our website. It's at musicgiants.com, and you know, I think that's a great place to start. We're obviously available here as well. All our contact information is on the net, and would love to visit with anybody who's interested in either embedding the technology into their media center, or if they're an end user, helping us guide them towards someone who's already done it.
Absolutely brilliant. Thank you. Well, it's been great talking to you. I think it looks a great service, and it kind of reinvigorates, you know, enthusiasm in music when you hear it at the high quality rates.
Absolutely. We're convinced that, you know, by honoring the artist, by presenting their music exactly the way they intended the consumer to hear it, is the best way to get the wheels back on the bus and get the bus on the road here on the music industry and see some excitement happen again.
Well, it's great. So I'll include a link to everything we've talked about in the show notes, and so listeners can take a look.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thanks to Scott. Links to everything talked about in this week's show are in the show notes on thedigitallifestyle.com. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/isdixon. The Kaspersky 2009 antivirus giveaway, I was late in doing that, so I'm going to hold that over to this weekend. To win a copy of that, all you've got to do is Twitter me with a message, tell me you want the Kaspersky, and I'm going to pick one out at random over the next couple of days. So you need to sign up on Twitter, send me a message, direct message, and I'll get you your prize, and I'll pick a random winner. So the show's going to take a break next week, so about the week after. So if you're in the UK, enjoy your bank holiday weekend, or if you listen to the show after the weekend, I hope you had a good one, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Bye.